Hello and welcome to another episode of At Any Rate. I'm your host, Natasha Kanova, and I head JP Morgan Global Commodities Research. Today, we would like to discuss copper, and I'm joined by Greg Shearer, who heads our metals research team. Welcome, Greg.
Thanks, Natasha. Finally, something to talk about here in base metals, right?
To discuss, yes. So, Greg, copper is just shy of $9,000 on LME or $4 per pound on COMEX. So it's near 11 months high. So, you know, it does appear bolstered by an improvement in the global economic outlook. But in general, copper prices have been in range between 8,200 and 8,600 since December. So very, very narrow range. And then suddenly last week, they broke out. So why now? What is happening?
Yeah, sure. So I think it's a confluence of a lot of different factors. So we've had a more bullish bias since last December when we stripped about 3% of our 2024 mine supply. Now that led up, basically wiped out our surpluses and led to a very tight looking concentrate market and a deficit refined market. And then from there, you know, over the first couple of months of this year, we've been seeing that play out with the treatment charges moving much, you know, very, very low. So we're down now below $10 per metric ton on a spot basis. That's telling us that concentrate market, which eventually we think feeds down into a refined deficit, is tight and is playing out. So there's this micro fundamental story that is still taking time to play out. Then broadly speaking, you have, you know, when I can tell you anecdotally from all of my conversations, there's a lot of latent copper bulls out there, right, that are on the sidelines and waiting for the right time to buy on a longer term or medium term basis on growing deficits, energy transition demand, as well as data centers has been the craze of March. So I think what we really got in the middle of March was the catalyst seems to be a meeting of Chinese smelters discussing this tightness in the concentrate market. Now, nothing actually came out of that meeting definitively, but it seems to have pushed the prices higher, broken through some technical levels, and really released both technical CTA momentum buying, as well as some of that kind of macro money to flow back into a still relatively small market in the global macro scheme. So from that perspective, we saw an explosion of financial open interest. I mean, FIFI open interest on copper in Shanghai was at a record high. So from that perspective, it looks to be really driven financially. At the moment, it's almost like what we saw in gold a few weeks back. And from that perspective, it seems like it's been an inrush of investor lengthening that has really pushed us up here.
So, Greg, for our listeners who are not familiar with the copper market fundamentals, if you can walk us through treatment charges, what exactly that means?
Yeah, exactly. So treatment charges are essentially the fees that miners or traders pay to smelters to treat their concentrate, which comes from a mine, into to smelt it and refine it into copper cathode. What that basically means is it makes up a significant portion of these smelters and refiners' margins. And so as they move lower, that's giving us an indication that the concentrate market is tight, because essentially their margins are being squeezed. And so from our perspective, we went from a place that this spot treatment charge was about $90 per ton back in September. Now we're down below 10. So it's showing us there's a very strong competition in the market right now for concentrate. And from that perspective, it's really being felt most by Chinese smelters, who we think are the most exposed to that spot contract. And what eventually happens is you essentially succumb to the margin pressure, right? And kind of stop out here and not produce at a loss, or you actually begin to run out of production, you know, run out of concentrate to feed through the smelter. So that's kind of the setup we're in right now. The mine supply, that concentrate supply, is always the bottleneck in the copper market.
And concentrate is just copper ore that needs to be concentrated from very low grade to higher grade to be able to be processed after that into copper metal. So Greg, you have been talking about prices running a bit quicker than the fundamentals here. So similarly, the message you gave us in gold. So what are you looking for from here for evidence that this is more near-term micro-fundamental story that actually is playing out?
Yeah, so What we really think is needs to play out here is that the Chinese market needs to get tight. That's kind of our whole thesis underpinning this, is that this tightness in mine supply moves to an unsustainable level and then rolls over into lower refined cathode production or usable copper production in China. That then leaves their market short. They go into the international market, start pulling in a lot of imports, and that's a very bullish signal. We are not there yet, right? What we've actually been seeing is post-Lunar New Year, we've been building a bit above five-year averages. We're still at a low level of overall copper stocks in China, but they are not necessarily drawing yet. We were basically flat week on week this week after a much bigger than normal build last week. But more important than that, we're not seeing onshore premiums, which give us a sense of, you know, how tight that market is. Those are very subdued. They're sitting at about $50 per ton. They were above 100 last year at one point. Or, you know, the ultimate arbiter, which is the import arbitrage. That is not open. That swings open when China's demanding additional metal. So those are the things that essentially we need to see tighten up to tell us, okay, this story is real now, right? We're seeing China tighten up and really need rest of world copper. And that's the bullish fundamental cue.
Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, comes into my next question, that what are the risks to this bullish story? Because your price target is about $10,000, so another $1,000 on top of what we're sitting today. But you know what you're pointing out, and that was my question, you know, where do you see the Chinese demand? And so you're seeing is that there are no signs of a strong recovery yet post Chinese New Year. But again, if you look at the global economic expansion, it's very resilient, but it's not just the resilient, it's broadening out both by sector and by geography. Yeah, so like much of last year's performance was very narrowly driven by post-pandemic surge in services and the significant strengthening in the U.S. economy, but the incoming data are showing at the moment that actually Europe is doing fine, avoided recession. Yes, as is Japan, and the data out of China last weekend actually was very, very encouraging. So, where do you see demand at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So, in terms of the risks, in our view, it looks like the supply trap in copper is set. We would either need a very strong, you know, unexpected boost to mine supply. We don't think that's coming, or some pretty large unexpected flows of scrap supply that just, you know, appear into the market. Now, some of that may come at higher prices, but we don't think the magnitude here is enough to fully avert the issues that we see developing in 2024 on the supply side. So as you mentioned, the other thing is demand. Right? Demand needs to be in a place that it doesn't undercut this story. And there's been a lot of focus on, okay, potential additional data center demand from North America or the US in particular. But as we look to 2024, China is still the biggest swing factor. And the biggest question mark there is property, right? So property, you know, completions were down 20% in Jan-Feb. We, as a house, JPM, has a view that completions basically fall around 10% this year. But if we look, the central government is pushing on public housing with the PSL stimulus. And so from our perspective and from our economist forecast, they see real estate fixed asset investment only down by around 2 to 4% relative to almost a 10% decline in 2023. So that's a question mark. That's the weakest spot in our copper demand forecast this year. So overall for China, we have last year about 5.6% refined copper demand growth from China. This year we have it slowing, but still staying relatively strong at 3.5%. Now, where that 3.5 is coming from is other places that are actually turning much more encouraging, I'd say, in the last month. Solar and grid in particular. So that was a very big driver last year. We had 217 gigawatts of Chinese solar capacity come online. Our analysts were a bit cautious to start the year. They had a forecast around 210 this year. They just moved that up to 255 gigawatts as we're seeing a relaxing of the curtailment rate requirement, which is going to allow for bigger build out than what they were expecting, and also will necessitate additional distribution grid demand to connect those renewable solar farms. Also on NEV sales, our analysts just boosted their new energy vehicle sales by 5%, and they now see about 30% year-over-year growth. So those are some pretty big sectors. Utility and solar is about 20%. If we even look at consumer durables, air conditioners, these are being tied up in the push to support consumption, right? This cash for clunkers scheme to upgrade efficiency and kind of drive this as one of the pillars of Chinese growth. So overall, we still think, are quite confident with this 3.5% growth rate for Chinese demand. I think at the end of the day, that's more than enough for this supply story to really bite. It's been a little bit slow post New Year to come up, but we really still think as we look to 2Q, 3Q year in peak seasonal demand, that demand will be there in China for this to have a bullish fundamental impact.
So thank you, Greg. So we're sitting today at $9,000. We're seeing another 10-11% higher from the current levels to hit our price target. So thank you, Greg, for joining me today. Thank you all to listening to the Commodities Edition at JP Morgan's At Any Rate podcast. We look forward to continue the conversation next week. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. 2024, JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on March 22nd, 2024.